Hello, internet, all of you, individually and as a group. I'm talking to you.
The internet.
Hey, Alan, have you looked at our stats lately? How many people are listening to us?
No.
No?
not since last year sometime.
It could be like just all of our moms.
Well, Alan, you need to like look close because I'm just saying I might have been on We Like Shooting and plugged the shit out of this.
Oh.
And I actually might have been on We Like Shooting because of listener Kermit, who listens to the show.
I don't
and
know.
And said, hey, Weird would be good on this show.
I don't know what We Like Shooting is.
Think if Vicious Circle continued on but was only about guns.
Oh.
How's that possible?
That bad, huh?
I really like it.
So, you know, what would the Jar Squatter sit on in that case?
I know. I'm trying to think.
That's the thing is they don't go that deep off the rails, which I must say is to their detriment. But it is like tends to be like about 2.5 hours, and heavy drinking is recommended.
Oh. Well then.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to let everyone know the internet got 10,000 times more awesome today.
What'd it do?
The Museum of Modern Art.
Ooh.
Put every exhibit they've ever done since like the beginning. What was 1929
or something?
Every exhibit since 1929 is now online and viewable.
Yeah.
Neat.
I don't know if it's every exhibit, but every photograph they had of exhibits from, 1920 something.
Right.
They have posted online for viewing.
Right.
And I was going here's a cool thing. I was going through the photos today and I was looking at an exhibit of Van Gogh. And I was scrolling through the pictures and it was really weird because in one of the photographs, they're black and white, of course, they're from the 1930s. In one of the photographs, I said, oh my gosh, I recognize that painting. I know that painting. It's in the Cleveland Museum of Art.
Oh, neat.
And it was just weird because like there it was in, an exhibit at the Museum of Modern Art in 1935, I think.
So the Cleveland Museum is 80 years behind the time, is what you're saying.
Well, no.
I'm sorry.
But it was just really cool, and it goes up to present day, so you can look at everything. And so it's really great. And I follow this thing on Facebook, and I don't know if they have an actual website or it's just a Facebook page. They probably have a Facebook page. A website to go with the Facebook page, but it's called Open Culture. That I'm going to geek out for a little second here because I'm a librarian.
Go ahead.
Have you been doing cocaine?
No, I actually try to rush my speech because I don't know I'm going to get interrupted by you guys.
Not so, when you're talking about something this interesting, Brita. So you just keep going.
Oh, okay. All right. So there's a website and a Facebook page. It's called Open Culture. And what they do is they find sources online that of things that have been digitized and put online for free. And it's not just art, but there's books and documents and just so much. And every time it pops up on my Facebook feed, it's really exciting because it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I can like look at, medieval manuscripts from blah, blah, blah. And this museum in Great Britain. And it's just there on the internet and it's just the coolest thing. So the MoMA thing came out today and I got a little verklempt, cause I was like, oh my gosh, I can look at exhibits from, photographs of exhibits from the 20s. It's cool. Yay,
cool.
Internet.
Thank you, Al Gore.
Yeah, seriously.
It's funny. And I had a moment because Brita earlier this morning, Brita was sending me pictures of some of the weird books she was weeding out, some like ham radio stuff. And, And there was this one that was a book of, what was it, like book of a book of firearm manufacturer logos or stamp marks. Yeah. Which is really not something you need now because you have Google.
Yeah.
And you have Google image search. Right? So all you have to do is take a picture of something if you want to know what it is and throw it at Google and Google will tell you. And it's, you know, it hasn't been that long, but it's getting harder and harder for me to remember how awful it was before Google.
Yes. Yes.
And the ability to find out, you know, all you have to do is have just the most minuscule amount of effort and you can know absolutely anything you want to know about absolutely anything.
I don't think I told this on the show. It was a couple of weeks ago. My daughter and I were reading Robert McCluskey books. We were reading both Blue Race for Sal and Burt Dow Deep Water Man. And in both of those, there is a scene in a kitchen where a wood burning stove is. And my daughter was asking about all like the little doors and latches and shelves and stuff that were on the stove. I mean, they're, if you ever look at like a wood burning stove, like some of them are really elaborate, like on just like, it's not like a modern stove where there's just a door in the front and there might be either a broiler or just a storage drawer down in the bottom and then the stove top and then the backsplash. Like this one had like lots of different little doors and lots of little doors and big doors and stuff. And she just was asking me about what all the different stuff on it did. And I said, I don't know, but guess what? Tomorrow morning when we wake up, I'm going to go find out. And number one, I found out that people are still making wood burning stoves. It makes actually perfect sense. Like there's actually, you can buy a modern wood burning stove. So not even like a reproduction. It is designed for you're living out in the woods somewhere where you got a lots of trees you can chop down, but the, you know, gas or electricity is a little hard to come by. But I learned that exactly how to fire up a wood burning stove and how to operate a wood burning stove.
And yeah. The people must have them around here because in the wintertime and in the fall, we always smell people burning wood. So they must have wood burning stoves.
Well,
for warmth in their.
And I mean wood burning cook stove. Excuse me.
Oh, a cook stove, really? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Huh.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. No. Absolutely. There's lots of. I mean, there's wood burning stoves all over the place here as well. And I mean, I my father has one. I grew up tending a wood.
Yeah. I mean, they're not unusual for warmth, but for cooking, but it's a whole different.
Yeah, this was a cook stove. Huh. So for baking bread and frying bacon.
Interesting. And
very, very, very interesting.
And just heating your iron.
And heating your iron, yes. I actually have a cast iron.
Ugh. I do too. We use it as a doorstop.
That's exactly what mine is as well. Yeah, no. Picked it up at a antique store for like $5.
I think ours came with our house.
Oh,
so yeah. It may have been here, you know, since the house was built. Who knows?
Cool.
Yeah, but again, yeah, all that information is just there, and it's again, this was 5 seconds of it.
Right.
So then you've got people who are idiots, who are just idiots on purpose.
Yes.
Like they're not going to take 5 seconds to pull. Cause it's not even like you can say like, oh, I'm at a bus stop. How the hell am I going to, you know, yes, I could Google that, but I need to go home and open up my computer. No, you don't. You just reach into your fucking pocket.
Yeah.
I wanted to say back to the open culture thing. It's actually openculture.com.
Okay.
I just like that on Facebook.
I was just scrolling through and I was looking for like, you know, what cool free stuff has Open Culture found recently. They have little blog posts of like videos they found that are cool and, you know, but here's one that I am kind of blown away by. It's a master list of 1,200 free courses from top universities. So 40,000 hours of audio and video lectures for free.
Cool.
So you can take, you know, you can follow along with a course, you know, from Oxford University or Berkeley or Harvard or whatever. So it's a little, you know, geeky, but it's super exciting for me, especially as a librarian. It's like free information. Yeah. That's the one thing I love about the internet is like free information. You can just, you know, hop on and get educated. It's cool.
Well, I mean, that's also just the neat stuff of just like, how much stuff do you know, like how to do almost exclusively just from the internet?
Right.
Like I can pick locks and I'm getting pretty good at it. I need to spend a little bit more time practicing, but my base of knowledge on how to pick locks and how locks defend against being picked is pretty good. And that is exclusively from internet. I've never sat down with another lock picker. And my knowledge of firearms is also largely based on internet, but also I've hung out with people like Jay who know more about different kinds of firearms than I do, or gone to blog shoots and things like that where, you know, or just hung out at my club and just shot other people's guns. And that's, you know, that's certainly that's old style learning, but like huge amounts of it. But lock picking, I've only learned via the internet. Oh wait, I do have one book. I have a lock picking book that actually came with some lock picks that I ordered on the internet.
Have you used the book though?
Yeah, I have actually.
Like lock picking is one of those things you kind of have to see in action to do.
This is definitely after. Well, yeah,
that's actually one of the things on Mike's wish list. He wants a set of lock picks.
Just buy some. They're legal.
I know that, but you know.
You can get them on Amazon.
Yeah, go to what is it, locklab.com, and he's actually got some promo codes, but he's got courses in there to teach you how to do various things, and he's got a YouTube channel that he goes through all sorts of stuff. But his courses are good to start off on because, you know, now when I'm just watching, he's pulling out like crazy challenge locks built by other locksmiths that are just, you know, very, very difficult to get into. But yeah, no, it's if you start off on easier locks, it's a pretty easy hobby to get into. Like I'm actually in a weird precipice where most locks are either way too easy or way too hard. Like I'm either in them inside of 30 seconds or I'm banging my head against the wall and not sure if I'm able to get into it at all.
Interesting.
Well, and there's a not just to go completely off the geek rails.
Why not?
Well, there is a strong corollary between lock picking and cryptography, because it is very easy.
You mean cryptozoology?
No, cryptography. It is very easy, like locks. It's very easy to design a encryption algorithm that you can't break. It's very easy to design a lock that you can't break because, you know, you're not thinking about breaking it. But then somebody else can come along and go, oh yeah, click, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. And it's open. So, there was a time when lock manufacturers tried to keep their lock details secret, you know, like, no, you can't see what's inside my lock, which is ridiculous because all somebody has to do is buy a lock and take it apart and,
yep,
you know, and see how it works. It's not that hard. It was especially common in safes where they would keep the inner workings of the safe like some kind of state secret. And what they quickly realized was the same thing that cryptographers realized, was that the more eyeballs you have on your hardware and your lock, your encryption algorithm, whatever it is, the more likely you are to find problems. You know, so if you keep your lock design secret or your encryption algorithm secret, odds are it's a piece of crap.
And somebody's already figured it out.
Right.
Well, but also you quickly get down to the idea that like, yeah, nothing is, you know, security is really just a question of, you know, a little bit of just wishful thinking and just a little bit of how dumb is your average thief,
right?
Like, well, especially like when I tell people I pick locks, a lot of people, that's one of those, it's kind of like right up there with like, oh yeah, I own guns, of the, oh, what's up with you? You know, yeah. You know, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, first,
how
like,
you doing?
The whole stigma that like a set of lock picks is burglary tools is just, I mean, the biggest pile of bullshit on earth anyway, because if you're going to break into my house, you're going to either just kick the door in or smash a window and just climb in,
yep,
steal what you can and leave.
Yep.
You know, the idea that you would take the pains, I mean, the whole reason, and I have used my lock picks a couple of times for good on the fact that I have gotten into things that either I have locked myself out of or friends have locked themselves out of and have been like, oh, I'm locked out of this. Well, the cool thing is I know how to pick a lock, so I can, you know, pop the lock on that. And then when you find the key or fix whatever you need to fix or do what you can, it still works.
Yeah.
You know, my neighbor locked himself out of his house, and it was one of those, he could have waited like, you know, a couple hours for his wife to get home from work, or I could let him into his house and he could go into his house and get his keys that he locked inside. And, you know, when his wife got home, everything's good. Or you can just, you know, just wait it out.
Well, if you do anything out of the ordinary, people will look at you funny. You know, I tell people I make my own sauerkraut and they're like, what? You know, it's like, what planet are you from?
Clearly you're a highly suspicious individual.
Yeah. Making my own stuff.
Planet lactic acid fermentation.
You know who picks locks routinely?
Who?
The feds.
Yeah.
Who wants to get into a lock without letting anyone know they've been in there?
Yeah. And that's and that is really where lock picking adds. I mean, I like it just for the philosophical sense. Is now, it's just learning how to pick a lock is really kind of an amazing thing, because all of a sudden now every single lock, and there's keyholes in everything. I mean, everything. And now all of a sudden you see every keyhole, you find yourself looking at the keyhole, you find yourself looking down into it to see if it's a pin lock or a wafer lock. And every lock is no longer just a lock. It's a challenge.
And you also realize that locks are mostly useless. And the reason that more people don't get their shit stolen is because people are inherently good and honest.
Because if they weren't, inherently good and honest. And also, on the other hand, is by putting a lock on the, you know, by putting a even like a shit wafer lock on the on something, just means that the thief is going to go over to your you put a shit wafer lock on your shed, that just means the guy's going to steal your neighbor's lawnmower.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
I just saw a thing about the history of locks on YouTube or something. And apparently they were invented in Egypt, and wasn't everything really, but yes.
either that or China.
Yeah. Or locks were originally, people would try to invent their own signature knots of rope. So they would, you know, knot their rope on their door or whatever. And then if they come back and the knot is different, they would know that somebody broke it.
Okay.
And then it progressed to wooden locks and, you know, stuff. But originally it was just like people would try to invent like a signature rope knot.
Yeah.
Huh.
But even then, again, it's like it's a rope knot. They could just cut the rope and go in. You know, if somebody wants to break in, they're just
If you want to conceal yourself, I mean, that was I've known like a ton of fishermen where that was like, that's a standard thing, is you'd be sitting around and one guy would like grab a rope and do a quick knot and tie the knot and just hand it to you, let you look at it, then untie it and give you the rope and like, all right, cool, try to tie this, otherwise you're gonna buy me a beer.
Oh.
And that's just that is a standard nautical game. on the here, I know how to tie this knot. Do you know how to tie this knot? If you can tie it on the first try, I buy you a beer. If you need multiple tries to tie this knot, you buy me beers.
Huh.
And all then just beer. It goes makes back and forth. All around. About beer. It's all about getting drunk. But learning while you get drunk, I'll have you know.
Because when you're out on a boat for weeks at a time, that's really all you care about.
That's right.
And anal sex, but.
Jay!
Rum buggery in the lash!
Oh, dear.
It got real dark real fast.
Speaking of rum buggery in the lash, how about that presidential debate?
Oh well, first I've got to say we're a little late. I'm sorry, but it is 8:26 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, September 29th, and I cannot confirm nor deny that Hillary Clinton may or may not be alive.
I don't actually know. There was a great quote. Oh crap! I'm gonna fuck it up now. Scott Adams, I heard an interview from him, and then I went and read some shit on his blog. It's actually, he's got some pretty interesting things to say about Hillary and Trump and all that. But basically, he was talking about the debate, and he said Hillary probably won it. If it was a high school debating match, Hillary would have won. He said, but in that debate, Trump won the election because Hillary looked like she was on drugs. It, she looked like doctors had come up with like the perfect cocktail of whatever drugs needed to keep her upright and coherent for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the debate.
I watched like the first, like I watched the first, I think 20, 25 minutes of it.
That's about all I could take too.
And exactly, it and was it was just literally. I just wanted to see if like Hillary's eyes were counter rotating. Wanted to see if she showed up like 15 minutes late.
She was blinking like crazy. I mean, her eyes.
Well, people always
like,
blink more when they lie. So.
Yeah. Well, it could also be that they gave her something to keep her like pupils dilated, so the eyes would be open.
She looked like she was really high.
Oh, so she was with Gary Johnson.
Yeah, Gary Johnson. What? You know what? I clicked on a link right before the debate. I was sick. I was sick Monday and Tuesday. So it's kind of like I didn't even care about the debate at all. So I clicked on a link, though, right before the debate, and somebody was interviewing Gary Johnson, and right when I clicked on the link, it started playing. And the first quote out of his mouth was like, "I'm the goofiest guy ever," or like, "I'm a super goofy guy." And I'm like, "Oh no, forget
yes,
it." I'm,
yes, he is.
Okay, good for him. Whatever. I'm probably just still going to vote for him.
I'm gonna vote for him for two big reasons. Number one, voting for him is the only way I'm not throwing my vote away, because again, third party votes are actually populist votes. If enough people fucking go, you know what, fuck this noise, and vote for a third party, there's a possibility that third parties will gain some traction.
People becoming aware of it, you know.
That's all pissing into the wind in and itself. But the other big thing is that, that's the big thing that got me with the debate and got me to turn it off was I am getting so pissed off now with just the number. So when you read a story and somebody's talking shit about Trump, they're not wrong. When they say Trump is racist, when they say Trump is an idiot, when they say Trump is crazy, when they say Trump is dangerous, when they say Trump would make a bad president, they're not wrong. And then at the same time, when you read something else, when you see Hillary Clinton is a gangster, Hillary Clinton is probably terminally ill, Hillary Clinton is a compulsive liar, Hillary Clinton is corrupt, Hillary Clinton's probably banging Huma Abedin, everything they say is not wrong. And but the problem is that these two people aren't crossing each other. If they say Trump is a megalomaniac monster, all but like a handful of people that I know are then turning around and going, well, you know, Hillary's better, or you know, oh God, Hillary. So yeah, Trump better win. Again, the only proper solution is not to play the game.
Yeah.
When they're saying, oh, Trump or Hillary, the only proper answer is neither.
None of the above.
Exactly.
Like I said, for you, it doesn't matter because you're voting for Hillary anyway.
Yeah. My Electoral College is voting for Hillary.
Well, no, you're voting for Hillary. I think the big point is that it doesn't matter. At this point, government is so large and they're going to do what they want to do anyway.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Well, specifically,
I mean, I just want to tell people, like, why do you think your vote matters? Because it's not about us anymore. It's about government. It's about the government maintaining power. And honestly, it doesn't matter which party's doing it. They're doing it. And they've been doing it for decades. And they're playing this game where they us versus them, us versus them. They're not monopolizing, but they're like, what's the word? Ugh. I can't remember the word, but they're taking advantage of people's natural instinct to have this like tribalism, us versus them, right? So we're down to two parties, us versus them, choose. But it doesn't matter because every election cycle that goes on, we just keep getting screwed more and more.
You know, Brita, I think you've just said something really, really brilliant there. You've just said the opposite of what everybody has been telling us every time forever for the meaning of history is in fact the opposite, which is this is the least important election in American history.
Yeah. You know, vote local and pay attention to what's going on, you know, in your community and that sort of stuff. But like when it comes down to the presidential election, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. It's all politics at that point. And politics is all about government. It's not about people.
Especially,
you're not electing the president. I mean, the president doesn't run the country anymore.
Well, tell that to Obama with his executive orders.
But it's not Obama. It's the people behind Obama.
No. Well, whatever.
It's his entourage.
Alan, you're saying staff. It's Jews.
No, I'm just saying it's not, you know, you can't.
No, I understand that. But I'm just saying it's like whoever the president is and whoever the people are behind him.
Right.
Their motivation is not us.
No, of course
not. It does not matter who we're voting for because their motivation is not taking care of us. It's expanding government power. And you can't tell me that both parties don't do this. You know, the Republican parties have been, you know, the next guy comes up, right? The next candidate comes up. Oh, and he panders to the small government people, and he panders to the religious base, and he panders to this one and the gun people, and he gets into power, and all of a sudden he's making all these bipartisan deals with the Democrats.
Yep. And the Democrats screwed. Do the same thing. They pander to the blacks. They pander to the Mexicans.
Yeah,
they pander to the old poor people. And then when they get in power, they screw everyone. It's the way it works.
It works.
I mean, that's absolutely true. The Angus McThagg over at his blog, he was saying, you know, pointing out the fact that all of these NRA A-rated politicians, they pass the litmus test, they get themselves elected, and then they don't do shit for gun rights. Because guess what? All you need to do is be quote unquote good on guns, to quote the statement about Harry Reid, and away you go. There you get your A rating. I mean, now we've got Donald Trump, NRA endorsed candidate, who went on that debate and talked about, you know, putting people on the terror watch list, you know, on the prohibited person list, and really not, you know, standing up to Hillary Clinton when she's talking about gun bans.
You know, if Hillary Clinton would stop talking about gun bans, the NRA would give her an A rating, too.
It's true.
Well, I, you know, whatever.
Because, yeah.
You know, when this, when another election always runs, rolls around, I always think back to the fact that I was on a podcast, like, doing a podcast the night Barack Obama got elected. And that just means I've been doing podcasts way too long. But I remember that night I had gone to the Republican headquarters and I was on the phone and I was calling people, cold calling people, trying to get them to go out and vote. And, you know, all this stuff. And I rushed home and I got on the podcast and I remember being on the podcast and it was like at that point, you know, the gun blogs had whipped themselves up so much, like into like, oh my God, Barack Obama is going to be the worst thing ever. And he's going to take all our guns and it's going to be horrible. And, you know, all this stuff. And I remember being on the podcast and watching the numbers start coming in from the election. And there was this feeling of, and I was like a baby Republican at this time, right? And I was like all pumped, and I was like, you know, Sarah Palin, and you know, all this stuff, and I remember the feeling of, like, this feeling of doom, right? That this is the worst thing ever. Barack Obama is going to be our next president, and I was on the podcast, And I'm looking back on it now. I'm like, that was 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are.
Yep.
And I just bought a black rifle, right? And I'm doing okay. And we have jobs and we still have our house and got food on the table and we're still hanging in there. And
thankfully, and I'm not drinking the way I was drinking that night when Obama got elected.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
I vaguely remember doing that podcast, but... What I strongly remember was the next day at work.
but at that time it was like, oh my God, the world is ending. The country's over. This is going to be horrible, and we're not going to make it. And guns and you know, this whole thing. And yet 8 years later, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say one way or the other if it's like, you know, the American people hung in there and we suffered through. I mean, because the first few years of Obama was very difficult for us personally. Financially, it was very difficult because of the whole, you know, financial crisis. But I think also it might be partly because change happens very slowly in this country and politics happens slowly and it's like incremental. And the only thing that has been different with Obama is that there have been certain things that happen all of a sudden. Right? You had in the beginning of his first term, you had the bailout thing, right?
Right.
And then we had the
Obamacare,
the health care, and a number of other things. You know, cash for clunkers. That was just like, well, what the fuck?
Yeah, they got that because
out of nowhere.
Yeah, they had a Democratic majority in the House and Senate at the same time. So
yeah, but still, like 8 years later, I'm thinking, okay, I'm on a podcast again, and it probably is going to be like I'm going to be on a podcast again when, you know, right after this election, and. I don't know. We made it through. And I think that a lot of the, oh my gosh, the media has just stirred everybody up into these factions and, you know, this crisis stage of, oh, you know, everything's going to be so awful. But
I volunteered.
We survived Obama. You know, here we are. I'm not burying my guns in the backyard like I expected I had to. That's not where I'd bury them, by the way.
Burying guns in general is a pretty stupid idea.
Well, I'm just saying that people were like talking about it for real.
Yep.
And nobody ever had to do that. Nobody even like came close to having to do that. So I think there is so much hyperbole about shit that doesn't really matter. That's my point. Okay, yeah. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
And don't bury your guns in the backyard, because the only person that I know well off who buried a gun in his backyard was Nelson Mandela. And he went to prison and they never found the gun. Good job.
Well, also they can find them. They have like ground penetrating radar and stuff like that. So, I mean,
well, if I was going to bury my guns, they would not be in my backyard.
Good.
Because it's
bury them in somebody else's backyard.
Maybe. Hello.
Phone call.
Sorry. Who's calling?
Freaking spam. I get like one or two calls a day.
I get those. I get those all the time. The robocalls. Oh, it's crazy.
No, these are like just the hang up. They just want to make sure they're trying to check to make sure the phone number's legit. So never ever answer them.
That's even worse.
I never answer anything like I don't know who it is.
Yeah, if it doesn't pop up with a name, it's going in a voicemail.
Well, even if somebody calls me and I do know who it is, I still don't answer.
I do.
Oh, by the way, what I do is I actually I answer it, and then I go to I answer it and then listen, and if I hear any noise in the background, I might say hello. But as a general rule, if it's a robocall, if you answer it and don't say anything, it'll start anyway. And then what you can do is just start mashing #0 and star. And chances are that kicks you out. Sometimes that'll dump you to an operator, but almost always for these scam robocalls, it just hangs up on you. And I think that's good enough for it to take you off the list, because I'm getting less and less of them.
What combination do you press to send an electric shock directly to the genitals of the person responsible? That's what
that would be. You got to hit the pi button 6 times.
No, 3.1 times. R. I just it all boils down to my hatred for people.
Yes.
But you're so social, Jay.
I fake it real well.
He's social, but he hates people.
I do.
He likes some of them.
Some of you I hate less than others.
Awesome.
Back at you, buddy.
Yes.
Can we talk about food?
The people on this podcast are among the ones I hate the least.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I will kill you last.
Yes, let's talk about food, Weird.
My dinner got made for me by the internet.
Oh yeah?
No, it's hilarious. This was actually the first time I ever did this, but I cooked dinner using nothing but YouTube videos.
Oh my gosh, really?
That's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, so one of them was from this is it Tasty? What's the one that I did?
Oh yeah,
the,
Tasty.
The,
yeah, those are good.
The carnitas.
The little videos. Those are great.
Which turned out I'm absolutely in love with this, because they're good recipes and they do it all just in time lapse. So it's all just, so the videos are all like less than a minute, but they show you everything you need. There's nothing you don't need. You may need to pause it and or go into the description box to get the stuff, because it's going by really fast. But overall, they give you the general idea. So from Tasty, I got tornado potatoes.
Oh yeah.
Of which I will be making again. It's a spiral cut potato, which I was assumed you needed a specialized cutter for, but you don't. It's definitely going to be something that's going to take a little bit of practice. And if you're not super duper comfortable with a blade, don't fucking do it. But if you're someone like Brita, who carries 16 knives on her at all times, you'll be just fucking fine. I mean, you may be like me and kind of have a couple of fuck ups through it.
I do have a spiralizer though. I have one of those spiral cutter things.
Okay. Well, then that probably will be even better. But for this one, all I did was I ran a bamboo skewer lengthwise through a potato, and then just start cutting at one corner and just do the spiral. And it takes a little bit of concentration to getting used to. I'm sure once I do it a few more times, it'll become real easy, but that was the hardest part of it. And then you just kind of fluff it up, spread it out, stretch it out along that. And then it was the mixture was, grated Parmesan cheese, smoked paprika, garlic salt. I put a little bit of Italian seasonings and a little bit of fresh ground pepper. And you brush the whole potato with olive oil and then sprinkle that stuff down into all the cracks and crevices and then throw it in the oven. They said like 325 for like a half hour. But that was way too friggin' low. Like they were just starting to get nice on the outside, and there was a couple of crunchy spots in them. I'm going to do it at 450 next time, and that'll probably be a little bit better. But yeah, no, I'll be definitely doing that shit again.
You may do it at a lower temperature instead of higher. Because when you cook something at a higher temperature, it cooks the outside quicker. So you listen to Alan, the
culinary expert.
Well, it's just thermodynamics, right? You heat up the outside and the inside lags, right? So if you want the inside and the outside to cook at about the same time, that's why when you do a roast, you do it at low temperature.
Yeah, but it's not really the inside. I think it's just not enough penetrating heat. So
I'm telling
you, if you do it at 450, you're going to wind up with crispy outside and raw inside.
Well, it's all outside. I spiral cut the potato.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really thin.
Then flash cook that bitch.
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go hotter. But the other one was, this is a more hilarious thing, was I don't know if you guys know of like Demolition Ranch or the other associated YouTube channels. Jay's probably the only one that's.
What am I doing?
Have you seen Demolition Ranch?
I have not, but you've piqued my interest with the demolition part.
Yeah, I literally had no interest in this YouTube channel. I'd watched a couple of videos that I'd seen like pop up on like Every Day No Days Off for it with I'll watch this video. That seems interesting. But overall, like people doing silly shit with guns is not unsafe stuff, just whatever, we shoot
19 pieces of wallboard.
Exactly.
Box of truth type stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Or testing out, AR-500 steel or just any sort of goofy business. It's fun, whatever. It's cool. When I've done it myself, it's a lot of fun, but hey, guess what? It's not as fun to watch somebody else do it.
Yeah.
So I really didn't have any interest, but then it turned out like, oh, this guy buys all his ammo 'cause he's a veterinarian. And so he has a charity.
That just seemed like the oddest combination. Well, of course he buys a lot of ammo. He's a veterinarian.
Well, no, he's a veterinarian. He makes good money. That's why he owns.
Yeah. Oh,
he's obviously a bad veterinarian. He needs all the ammo.
I was wondering where that connection was. Oh, Jesus Christ! I hate you guys. But he's got a channel called Vet Ranch, they essentially use it as a charity. They take donations, and I think they use the YouTube proceeds to finance where they go to shelters and ask, just the shelters will call them when they have an animal that they're going to euthanize, but it's not, it's a potential of this animal just needs some veterinary help. And so they'll take animals that, dogs that have been hit by stray dogs that have been hit by cars or,
and they test ammo on them. That's sick.
Oh, God.
They fixed the dogs.
Hey, it was going to die anyway, so let's try out these wind bags.
Oh,
But it's lots of videos of animal surgery, and that's cool. I'm into that.
So this YouTube channel raises money to help animals that need veterinary care.
Yes, Could you say it again?
What is the title?
Vet Ranch.
Vet Ranch.
Yes.
It's a YouTube channel. Yes.
YouTube.
Okay.
And then he just started a new channel, which is just I guess you could call it a vlog, where it's just him doing shit with his family. And he had this one where he was making dinner for his kids, and he called it the Taco Ring. And at first I'm just like, snicker. This is just a dad bullshit meal. And I'm looking at it going, you know, that doesn't look half bad. But it's absolutely everything about it is a train wreck. But it turns out this is what we had for dinner, and the potatoes were a little crunchy. This was fucking awesome. So what you do is you get some ground beef and a packet of taco seasoning and follow the directions. So add the water, brown the beef.
Right.
I went a little step further and I diced up some onions and threw in some minced garlic because
madman.
Yeah, I can't just do beef and taco sauce. Meanwhile, while you're browning that, while you're cooking that up, open up a can or two of Pillsbury crescent rolls and unroll the dough completely. And the dough is shaped like little triangles, and you're supposed to roll them up and they turn into crescents. But open up the triangles and set the triangles on a pizza tray, so a circular pizza pan, so that you make like a little sunburst. So the fat parts of the triangles are towards the middle of the pan, and the tips are hanging off the pan.
Okay.
All right. Then when the taco stuff is ready, throw in some black. I threw in some black beans. You can throw in other assorted vegetation, but throw in some black beans, throw in some shredded cheese, mix that all up till it's all like, you know, consistent, and then spoon it onto the rim of the pizza tray, and then flip the corners over. So essentially it creates like a taco bundt cake made of a crescent dough roll.
Excellent.
And then throw it in the oven, and I threw some extra cheese on top. I can't remember if he did or not, but I threw some cheese on top, and then toss it in the oven till the crescent rolls are done. And it's awesome.
If you email me a link to that, I'll put it in the link. Ooh. For the show.
I will do just that.
Also, put it on the Squirrel Bark page.
Ooh, that's a good idea. The group page.
Yeah.
After we're done, I'll. Remind me after we finish recording, and I'll go throw that up on the group.
In fact, you know what? Let's just tell people to go look at the group. That way, if they want to see it, they got to join the group.
That's a good idea.
I think people on Facebook are a little confused. There's like the Squirrel Report.
There's the page.
And then there's the SQRPT group.
Right.
So there's two different things.
Yeah.
They're just mouse over it, and one of it will say page, and the other one will say closed group.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the page is really just like show announcements and crap like that. I mean, it's really not very interactive. The group is very interactive.
The group, you have to ask permission.
But we get
it. And Brita will say yay or nay. Yeah.
We pretty much allow everyone.
I know. I haven't said no to anything.
But it's a closed group, so we can kick people out if they start being assholes. That's really what it is. We let everybody in, but if you don't behave yourself, we kick your ass out. I don't think we've had to kick anybody out.
Just remember, Brita has the fan hammer. That's all you need.
I do.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. I'll put it up on the
tough
on the group.
But benevolent.
Yeah.
No, Brita demands sacrifice. she's the Old Testament Brita.
Yeah. Brita is very firmly. You know what, Abe?
She's a vengeful.
We're good, but you got to kill that boy.
He's a vengeful Brita. Demand sacrifice.
I'm
just saying, there might be pillars of salt in your motherfucking future.
That's a nice wife you got there. It'd be a shame if she turned into a pillar of salt. I'm just saying.
Don't want to make her hangry.
Yes.
Do you think I'm a good and wonderful God? Well, guess what? Covered in boils!
You know what's falling out of the sky? Frogs, motherfucker.
That Job guy fucking covered him in boils, killed his family, and he still loved me. God, the Old Testament was a fucking solid read.
Yep.
It has so much shit when there were locusts and stuff, you know.
And, you know, just thinking about the Book of Job, it's really 50 Shades of God.
Oh, man. If we were doing show titles, that would be the show title. Traps
on your nipples.
Oh, man. All right, well, we're down to about... we started a little late.
Quick, so call in. Oh, wait.
I know. Yeah. I just had that feeling. Call in. You got 5 minutes left.
No, Jay. We gotta call Gary Johnson a fuckface.
Oh, God.
I don't think we've given him the kicking that he deserves.
You know, and what's really sad is people that I had previously liked and respected are falling over themselves defending this fuckstick. You know, like, look, I get it. You don't like Clinton. You don't like Trump. I get it. I don't either. Gary Johnson is not the answer. Gary Johnson has proven himself to be just as big of a clown show as the other two.
In some ways, yes. Worse. No.
What's that? You,
Mr. Cylon.
In some ways, worse.
Yeah, except for Alan's recording it, so you're just going to sound like you don't understand. Saying he's in some ways worse.
Yeah, and again, you know, I'll get my bias right up front. My biggest problem is, this could have been the year for the libertarians.
Absolutely.
They could have won. Honest to God, pro-liberty,
and
pro-constitution.
I wonder why they
exactly
didn't.
Go back to what Breida was saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we'd offered an honest to goodness alternative, I still don't think they would have won, but if they put in a decent showing, it starts
against this group of boobs.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you come up with 20%, 25%, where it's starting to be, okay, this is, you're starting to, you know.
I mean, look at Obama. He's got a huge disapproval rating. You know, he's doing bad, but that's because he's president. And that's every president, like, especially second-term presidents. Nobody wants to see that motherfucker around for another term after the second one. Like, I don't even know how the fuck FDR got through. Alan, how did FDR get through?
Mostly lying and cheating. He was a Democrat, remember?
Yeah, he was sickly and the media covered for him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Everything that's old is new again.
And he wanted to...
Well, you know what? I'm still pissed off. This could have been the year for the Tea Party.
It could have been. Yep.
This...
Completely
marginalized.
You get Johnson,
thanks,
who can't answer questions, does an interview with a tongue hanging out of his mouth, and has Bill Weld as his VP. Like, really? And there's people like, oh, that was a gotcha question. You know, okay.
No, it was not.
Okay. You know, agree.
And also, all things given, I mean, it now the media is giving him a lot of cover because they're just going clown shoes.
Well, before he started
doing all these gaffes, before the Aleppo, before the tongue hanging out of his mouth, and before what Jay's about to talk about right now, the media was giving him a big old leaving alone, and the majority of people had no fucking clue who he was because the media was giving him a leaving alone. And guess what? Gary Johnson was giving himself a big old leaving alone. Wasn't like he was airing air, you know, things or doing, like, around-the-clock radio show interviews or doing anything to get his fucking name out there. It was literally like, yes, if you're a dork like us and listening to the Score Report, you probably got some libertarian leanings, so you probably heard of Gary Johnson. Other than that, like, people that might otherwise vote for him in very, very small numbers, other than that, nobody knew who the fuck he was.
Right.
Well, the fact that the Democrats and the media... except I repeat myself, are
I
going
want to know
after,
how many people in New Mexico know he's running for president.
They're going after Gary Johnson now. It just proves how desperate they are.
Yeah.
Because they're putting him, they are pushing Gary Johnson out front. They're giving him interviews. They're putting him out there. And they're saying, look at these weirdos, and he can't answer a question. You know what, you guys, I want to ask you this gotcha question. Who is your favorite world leader?
Bibi Netanyahu.
Yeah, well, that is the obvious answer.
Because he's badass and he sounds like Gene Simmons. I mean, what more, right?
I would, okay, completely divorcing.
We know about your man crush, Alan.
Well, yeah.
We know about your man crush.
Well, no, I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to talk about your favorite world leader, I mean, you have to, you know.
Idi Amin, isn't it, Alan?
No, it's not. You got
to
look.
It has to be living. I think he's dead, isn't he?
Yes.
Go ahead, Alan.
Well, I was just, I was going to say Putin because he is the most successful world leader as far as, you know, whether you like him or not, whether, I think he's, I don't think he's like the second coming of the Soviet Union. He's as much of a gangster leader as Hillary wants to be. He's just better at it than she is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how can you be aware enough to want to run for president and not be able to answer that question with any name, pull any fucking name out of the hat? It doesn't matter.
Even if
at that point,
to say, I don't respect any of them.
Right.
You have a follow up with, Putin is certainly, he's
successful,
brought law and order to Russia, or whatever.
Right.
Netanyahu is.
You name some fucking names and then say why you didn't like them or disagree with them.
Or even for Gary Johnson's like Aleppo quote is that I had never fucking heard of Aleppo before.
Yeah.
I was willing to give him that. But I'd be willing to give him that if he had followed up with a smart answer, which is, I don't give a flying fuck about Syria or what's happening in Syria. We don't, like, every time we've gotten boots on the ground in a foreign nation, we've made things worse for that foreign nation and for us. So I'm not going to go anywhere near fucking Syria.
I don't know. Germany and Japan might beg to differ, but.
That was different.
You mean the modern age?
Well, we didn't.
I would even argue. I mean, look, fucking Germany's jailing comedians for making anti-gay jokes.
That has nothing to do with our occupation. Japan is tentacles.
No. But what I'm just saying is, tell me that the Nazis would have been any different. And again,
yes, I understand the Nazis killed all the Jews.
But again, we looked the other way when Stalin killed twice as many.
Because Stalin was the right flavor of socialism.
Yeah, I have gone on record that. Even the great benevolent war, the ultimate test. I mean, that's the reason why Godwin's law exists, is let's all universally agree the Nazis were super evil. Yeah, they were super evil. And there's no disagreeing with that. But at the same time, did fighting the Nazis even fucking accomplish anything? No. I mean, Germany's controlled by National Socialists right now.
Yep, it sure is.
And the Germany that is right now is West Germany, not East Germany. East Germany disappeared off into the off into the Soviet Union when the wall fell. Like Germany reunified and became all a big West Germany that's just Germany. And yet still West Germany was run by National Socialists. So. We liberated the concentration camps and all of that, and that's wonderful. That's great. I'm not saying that's not a good thing.
We didn't liberate the Soviet concentration camps, though.
But at the same time, we turned a blind eye to many, many other concentration camps that killed a whole lot more. Like, Hitler's deemed like the ultimate fucking monster in just human history, the Satan incarnate, and he was a fucking piker compared to like Stalin and Mao and even Pol Pot.
Yep.
And Pol Pot was a runny little turd.
Percentages, Pol Pot was one of the worst.
Yes.
I'm still pulling for Idi Amin.
He was just incompetent. I mean, he was evil, but he was incompetent.
His enemies. I mean, there's a whole different level there. When you're like, you know what, we're political enemies and you're dinner. I mean, that's a whole level of badassery. Even Putin doesn't eat people.
That we know. Yeah, as far as we know.
I bet Putin's eating people. I'm just saying.
You're saying he's that long pig?
The dude shot a tiger with an air rifle and rides around on horseback with his shirt off and makes sure his press photographer's there. He's eating people. he's definitely been pushing out, going, oh man, guy put up more of a fight in death than he did in life.
Yeah, oh boy.
If only he'd been this tough when he was alive.
That's right. That's a cannibal poop joke. I went there.
Yeah, no, oh God!
I've literally sat there and like gone through, because I mean because even back in my liberal days I was a fucking, I mean I was only a liberal like through my teens. So as a teenage boy, like, oh yeah, no, we're invading Iraq. Yeah. Awesome. You know, that was definitely a rah-rah, especially since that was like the first war to have like around the clock news coverage. Let's turn on the war and see what's going on. Let's watch war. That was fucking cool to teenage me.
The War Channel.
And then, you know, next thing you know, post 9/11, you know, well, now I'm a Republican, and now fucking yeah, war. And now I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, nor a teenage boy. And now I'm like, what the fuck do we get out of those? So that naturally leads me to question, all right, well, let's go back. Let's see. Korean War, we lost. Vietnam,
actually,
we
did.
Lost.
The jury's still out on the Korean War. And it's not actually over yet.
That's true.
It might still, you know, we might still be fighting that.
In theory.
It's an armistice. But
just one day we're going to wake up and North Korea is going to be gone.
They're just not going to be. Well, actually, no. There's the big thing is that, well, it's either North Korea is going to be gone or Seoul's going to be gone.
No, North Korea. They're just finally going to implode and nobody's going to even.
No, because that's the whole point. Is the Korean War was not the South Koreans versus the North Koreans.
It was the Korean people versus China.
China's been propping up North Korea the whole time, because if North Korea collapses like it naturally would, because there's no reason why that fucking country would survive on its own, that is a black eye for China and their communist ideology. So again, it's just a question of how long does China want to keep that little like parasitic twin alive.
I watch this. I watch this YouTube channel of this couple who live in Seoul, Korea, and apparently they have bomb warnings, like test sirens every week or so.
Sure.
And they run through what like the city is supposed to do. Like they shut down all the traffic and the sirens are going off and all this stuff. And they were saying in the video that the Korean War for them never ended.
Nope.
No,
it's a ceasefire right now.
Yep.
And so they fully expect at any moment, and they plan for it. Everybody has like, you know, emergency things that they need to know how to do just in case North Korea goes, you know, full retard and decides to, you know, bomb Seoul.
So, well, I mean, that's the same thing as a friend of mine was an armorer in the army, and he was stationed in Seoul for part of his tour. And yeah, that was all he was doing, was running maintenance on old guns and old tanks and old things. And he's just saying, oh yeah, no, we've just got piles and piles and piles and piles of shit just sitting there. For just in case North Korea goes full retard, all we've got to do is just get a couple of C-130s full of dudes to staff all this shit. But we don't even need to haul the gear. The gear's all there.
Yeah, from the 1950s.
Yeah, some of it. Some of it's a little bit more modern, but again, it's one of those like it'll fucking work.
lot of people don't realize that Seoul is in artillery range of North Korea. They don't even have to use airplanes. All they have to do is, you know, fire up the cannon, you know, the howitzers and stuff, the artillery, and they can
start shelling them,
shelling the shit out of Seoul. So if you lived in Seoul, you would be worried about it. It'd be like the old days. Y'all are all too young to remember the 80s and the 70s and the threat of nuclear war between the Soviets and the U.S. And it was in the late 70s and early 80s. It was like accepted everybody. I mean, it was more settled than global warming. I mean, everybody knew that eventually there would be a nuclear war and everybody would die. And that was just the end of it. And I imagine that's that way in Korea, in Seoul. They're like, well, eventually North Korea they're going to lose it and they're going to bomb the shit out of us. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I remember those bullshit tornado drills they used to make us do. Sit in the hallway with, you know, your head between your knees.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's going to save you. I always, you know, it was never like, never saw how that would help us in a tornado, really.
The theory is it gets you out of the path of window glass and stuff like that, but.
Oh.
When
the
tornado rips the roof off the school, it's kind of pointless.
Yeah.
The what? Right.
Tornado.
Yeah, it's kind of technically the duck and cover drills. You had to have done those, Alan.
Nope.
You're just past those?
That was only in the 50s. They didn't do that.
Okay.
Past the 50s.
Oh, they didn't do it past the 50s? I thought they did it much later than that.
No.
Pardon me. That was not one of my ageist jokes. When I make an ageist joke against you, it'll be much worse.
The 1850s?
Yes. Thank you, Brita.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Oh, I hear a cat.
Yep. Dinner time.
Dinner time. Meeting at the zoo. Yes,
contrary to popular belief, I was not a participant in the Civil War.
You're not ganged into the Civil War?
Okay. Oh, I've seen the pictures.
Did you own people, Alan?
Nope.
Were you a Whig?
No, he was an anti-federalist.
But yeah,
and on that note,
I just wanted to get back into the long circuitous whether or not how we feel about the Korean War. is that like I got thinking about like the World War II. And I mean, World War I, I think very few people argue, though, why the fuck did anyone bother? Jesus Christ, let them have it. Whatever anybody wanted, just let them have. It's way better than that pile of shit that war was. But World War II is often deemed as like the great benevolent war.
The good war.
And, huh?
The good war.
The good war. Really? Yeah. And not, you know, not only the good war because it accomplished good things, but good versus evil. And they're not wrong. They're not wrong. I mean, it definitely accomplished a lot of good. The Nazis were terrible. Hitler was terrible. The death camps were fucking terrible. And, you know, killed a huge number of people. But at the same time, we allied up with the Soviets who were...
That
worse,
was the mistake.
Were worse, and their death camps were worse, and their death tolls were worse, and Lenin and Stalin were far worse than Hitler.
Should have listened to Curtis LeMay and MacArthur, and should have gone on when Germany and Japan surrendered. We should have turned around and gone, all right, Russia, you're next.
No, actually, we should have let Russia and Germany keep wailing away at each other until one was gone and the other was.
Yeah, they actually did that for a little while, but at a certain point, that's why.
Ain't nobody got time to wait this shit.
That's
out.
Why the D-Day invasion.
Like, fuck it, we got news.
Happened when it did, is because if we haven't if the British and the American forces hadn't invaded on D-Day, there wouldn't have been a West Germany during the Cold War. Mm-hmm. That would have all been Soviet Europe.
But again, so. it's one of those, like, it's 6 to 1, half a dozen others. Just the boil down to it is just defend your own fucking borders and be done with it. It's just, and again, that should have been Gary Johnson's answer. That's in my opinion, is a smart answer.
Yeah, but he believes in open borders, or at least that's the big L libertarian.
Yeah, he's definitely setting. One of those libertarians.
You know what? We don't want to have any bases anywhere, and we want open borders. I'm like, okay, so that you want a suicide pact?
Yes.
Because that's what you're telling us.
That is definitely one branch of the Libertarian Party.
It's the one thing that really keeps me from going full-fledged big L libertarian.
There's a million and one things that keep
me. Well, yeah. But isolationism didn't work in World War I when airplanes consisted of propellers and bamboo.
Right. They'll bring the fight to you.
I'm dumbfounded that you think we can just crawl into our shell, sorry, Myra, and ignore the rest of the world. You like that? I give a shout out to your turtle.
Thank you.
Tortoise!
Tortoise. Oh, no.
By the way, Frida, the other day, I was at the zoo with my daughter, and she said, "Oh, Daddy, there's where the turtle is." And I went, "Sweetie, you're not going to be one of those people that's a tortoise."
Oh no.
And she said, "Fuck you, Daddy, it's swimming."
And my wife has now been making fun of the fact that my daughter says, "Well, actually, a lot."
I wonder where she gets that. I don't know.
You sound like my wife, Frida.
It's real cute. Wait till she's 13. All I'm saying.
I have no alternative but to wait until she's 13 days, so I will do just that.
As you get there. And prove that God has a sick, sick sense of humor.
Maybe we'll all be doing, like, hologram podcasts.
From our flying cars.
3D. Can I make a suggestion? I really think we need to do, like, a whole, like, futurist sort of episode. Like, I don't know. We don't get any feedback these days, but like those days we were talking about like different like things of technology. Oh, do you remember floppy disks? Do you remember records? You know, just where are we going?
Okay. That'd be fun.
We'll have to save it for a slow day when like Hillary's not eating her skin and
like next
Trump
week?
Isn't killing all the brown people.
So next week.
Okay, next week. I hope next week is a slow enough week that we have nothing to fucking talk about. I'm begging for that.
Well, Hillary, she needs to rest up after the debate, right? So yeah. That'll take like a month.
She has to recharge the.
You
Hillary
know what's
suit.
Funny is since the debate, you haven't seen her anywhere.
Yes.
Nowhere. She hasn't been anywhere.
And the same thing with two days before the debate. I mean, right. It's. Again, Brita's Parkinson's thing designs
I'm
that.
I'm telling you, man.
If she's getting like 12 to 18 hours of sleep a day.
I think she's bathing in the blood of virgins.
She might be.
Oh, with Bill around, there's no virgins anywhere.
Bill's at least mouth raping them.
Oh, God.
All right.
But yeah. But no. The
Peter all week. Thank you, folks.
Yep.
I have not told a single dad joke.
Oh, man.
It's too late now.
Yep. Save it for next week.
But no, I mean, that was the same thing as is just before. And again, looking at like the emails that have been released, like there's definitely emails of like Huma emailing Hillary at like 11 o'clock in the morning going, "Are you up?"
Yeah, come on. You're Secretary of State. You're not awake at 11 o'clock.
Exactly.
What? Yeah. I need that job.
Secretary of State?
Sure, hey, if I can sleep till 11.
If John Kerry can do it, you sure can.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Yeah.
Lurch.
Bless his heart.
Oh.
Maybe that's
worse.
It. Maybe
got worse grades than George W. Bush at Yale, yeah. And George W. Bush had a severe alcoholic coke problem.
Yes, but he's, you know,
he's got the right letter after his name,
Chimpy right. McBushitler.
Yes,
and John Forbes carries initials are patriotic.
All right, we'll be back next week, y'all. Have a good weekend.
I'm sure.
And,
Good night.
We will return.
Yeah, go on the Facebook page. I'm going to be posting that
the
recipe.
Group,
very
not
sure.
The page.
The group, whatever the fuck. I don't know how Facebook works.
What about our Instagram?
Yes, we know, weird.
What about our Snapchat and our Grindr?
No.
We don't have that.
Grindr. We do need a score report Grindr page.
Oh God, that's terrifying. No,
all these score report fans that I've like interacted with and or met, I haven't seen any of their penises.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
I should have asked. Not a score report fan.
Hey,
do not send pictures. Yes. Do not.
Hey, let's see what the mushroom cap looks like, buddy.
Nope. I'm like a admin on the Facebook group. Do not send pictures. Don't this is not bother. An invitation. I will not pass them on to Weird.
Yes, you do not want to be on Brita's list like that. Trust me.
No. I don't think anybody. Well, you know what? I'm not going to say that because who the fuck knows, right?
It's if you
the
listen internet. To this show, you are not an okay person.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. Bye, y'all.
All right.
Good night.